The Holy Gospel is written in the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the first verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Each year, the Church Advertising Network creates a new advertising campaign for churches to use at Christmas. Their 2008 campaign featured a specially commissioned painting of the Nativity set in a freezing bus shelter, which was displayed in bus shelters across the UK throughout December of that year. You can see the bus shelter Nativity on the front cover of your order of service. The painting is by Royal Academy Gold Medal winner Andrew Gadd, and it depicts the Holy Family with halos in a dark bus shelter. The shepherds and wise men are replaced with fellow passengers waiting for a bus. Some are watching the Nativity intently, others appear oblivious and are checking the bus timetable and flagging down a bus. Francis Goodwin, the chair of Church Advertising Network, said, "We are very used to the Renaissance image of the Nativity, but what would it look like if it happened today? Where would it take place? We want to challenge people to make them reassess what the birth of Jesus means to them." Andrew Gadd answered that question by setting the Nativity in a bus stop, and he explained that, "At first, I didn't like the idea of painting a nativity scene in an urban setting. However, once it was explained that it was to be designed for bus stops, it gave me an idea. this idea. The bus stop, when simplified, is like a stable. It is, after all, a shelter, a place that people go to but never want to be. So where better to stage a nativity, and how unlikely? The details of the Christmas story, the visit of the angel to a poor Jewish girl, the humble occupation of the man to whom she was betrothed, the birth in a manger, the visit of the shepherds, these are all unlikely, but not in terms of being out of the ordinary. Instead, they are unlikely precisely because they are so ordinary. Paul Richardson, writing in the Church of England newspaper, reminds us that in the ancient world, gods were seen as superior to human beings, but they remained alongside them, fighting with them, tricking them, or sleeping with them. When Homer wrote his epic poems, he wrote of kings and warriors, not ordinary people. Aristotle admired the kind of superior people who had the wealth and leisure to reflect and take part in the government of the state. Such people did not soil their hands with work. Ordinary, everyday work was left to slaves, an unimportant class of people whose job it was to free the aristocratic elite to get on with things that really mattered. How different the Gospels are. In the words of the literary critic Eric Auerbach, Christ has not come as a hero and king, but as a human being of the lowest social station. His first disciples were fishermen and artisans. He moved in the everyday milieu of humble folk. He talked with publicans and fallen women, the poor and the sick and children. The Canadian philosopher Giles Taylor has noted that as a consequence of Christianity, people began to view the world from the perspective of ordinary human beings. It took time for the implications of this radical development to become apparent. We are still, he says, in the process of working things out. But it led eventually to the abolition of slavery, the extension of the vote to all adults, and the view that government should exist for the benefit of everyone, not just the rich and powerful. Almost immediately in the early years of the church, Christians were known for their readiness to care for the poor and the sick. Hospitals began, he notes, as a result of the church's work. And this focus on ordinary people is what the bus stop nativity reminds us of. It reminds us ultimately that Jesus was born to be Emmanuel, God with us. And that is what the incarnation, the union of the human and the divine in the life of a humble Jewish carpenter, is all about. As John 1, verse 14 says in the contemporary translation of the Bible called The Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. Through Christ's birth, God has entered our world and moved into our neighborhood. In Christ, God has identified with us by becoming one of us. The entire movement of the Bible, from God walking with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, through God having a tent, the tabernacle, and then a house, the temple, so that he could live with the Israelites, led up to this moment in history when God became flesh and blood and entered our world. That is why Jesus is called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. What does it mean for God to be with us in this way? Well, it means that God himself became a human being, experiencing the whole trajectory of human existence from conception through birth, puberty, adulthood, to death, including all that we experience along the way in terms of relationships, experiences, emotions, and temptations. Through his experience as a human being, God understands us in ways that he could not if he remained solely as our creator. The letter to the Hebrews puts it well. Since the children, meaning ourselves, all human beings, are flesh and blood, Jesus himself became like them and shared their human nature. He had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, and now he can help those who are tempted because he himself was tempted and suffered. This is what we find when we reassess what the Nativity means. It is what the bus stop Nativity reminds us of, and as Paul Richardson reminds, it is a major way in which Christianity marked a break with Greece and Rome. The message of Christmas is that it is the incarnation, the union of the human and the divine in the life of a humble Jewish carpenter, that transformed our understanding of the significance of ordinary everyday life and led ultimately to a world where it is possible to talk of human rights and even of the fundamental equality of all human beings. Rowan Williams, when he visited one of the bus stop nativity posters as Archbishop of Canterbury, made just that point when he said this: Jesus, the Son of God, knew what it meant to be without wealth. He knew what it meant to grow up disadvantaged. He knew what it meant to turn to God in prayer, faith, and hope. And so he hoped that this image of the Holy Family in a contemporary setting would move those who see it to stop, pray, and reflect on what the birth of Jesus means to them in their daily lives. And so I ask you to look again at the image of the bus stop Nativity. A bus stop is a place that all of us go to. We are there, included in this image. I wonder, are we among those who are watching the Nativity intently? Or are we those who are oblivious, checking the bus timetable and flagging down a bus? What, I wonder, does it mean to us that God has become flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood?